Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Proud to call ourselves Michiganders today. Our theme for this year, and by the way, we've chosen a different theme for next year that we'll be sharing with you at the beginning of this next year, but for this year, it's been Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, if you are a believer, that's for you. And you need to make sure you understand that you have both a responsibility and an opportunity and a privilege to make sure that the gospel that you have received, others are hearing it. And it's nothing we can opt out on. And either you're in missions, you're for missions, you understand it, and you're committed to it, or you're not. And if you're not enthusiastically involved, you need to be. Now, it may be that you aren't involved in missions simply because you've never been taught. Okay, well, that's what we're doing. We're teaching on it this month. Or maybe it's such that you can't figure it out because missions can be messy. And they can be. As you are going to see from Scripture this morning, they can be very messy. But that's no reason to not be involved. Even though missions can be messy, my message this morning is be enthusiastic about missions anyway. Now, some of you may be here this morning, you've been involved in missions all your life, and you've never thought about the fact that missions can be messy. Well, all you got to do is read what the Bible says. For example, we began last week in Acts chapter 13 with the very first two missionaries being officially sent out. Now, the gospel had been spread, but never in an organized way, as churches are responsible to do. And we read about that last week, Paul and Barnabas being called to the Holy Spirit and sent by the church, take off and they go to Cyprus. Well, let's pick up in Acts chapter 13. That's what we're focusing on this month. And in verse number 13, it says something very interesting. And when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. Now catch this. This is where it gets messy. These are real people with real issues. And the Bible is good. It doesn't hide that. The Bible doesn't sweep our problems back then under the carpet. And John, also known as John Mark, I'll refer to him as Mark sometimes, I'm sure. Sometimes I'll refer to him as John Mark this morning. And John Mark, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas had been led by the Holy Spirit to be the very first official, if you will, foreign missionaries. And we learned that John Mark joins them. He joins Paul and Barnabas for this very first far-reaching missionary effort to take missions to different people in different countries. And somewhere along the way, John Mark says, "This ain't for me." We're not told why, but most theologians speculate or assume that it was harder than what he bargained for. Perhaps he had begged Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas was his cousin. "Let me go. Let me go. I want to go." It just sounded adventurous. New lands, different people, different foods, different music, different cultures. In my mind, the Bible doesn't say this, but in my mind, this young man, I could see, was begging them, "Let me go." And then he finds out, this is rough. This is harder than I thought. And he left. He says, "I'm going back to mama. I'm going back home. This is more than I bargained for." Well, we pick up in Acts chapter 15, verse number 36, because it gets messy. And again, the Bible doesn't sweep it under the carpet. In Acts chapter 15, look in verse number 36. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. So it was on that very first missionary journey that Paul and Barnabas are sent. John Mark joins them for a little ways, and at some point he bails on them. Well, Paul and Barnabas go ahead and continue that first missionary journey to its conclusion. Now they're back home, and they realize, and Paul says, let's go back to the places where we won people to the Lord, to the places where we started churches, and let's visit those people. And look what it says in verse number 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. That's the same John Mark that had bailed on him. In the middle of the mission, he bailed on him. Barnabas thought this was a good idea. Barnabas says, you know, I mean, I'm speculating. Yeah, he shouldn't have bailed on us. We were depending on him. He said he wanted to go, so we gave him some assignments. I created some problems, but he's my cousin. I want to give him a second chance. But in verse number 38, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Barnabas said, okay, yeah, that's a great idea. Let me call John Mark, and we'll get him to go. And Paul's saying, ain't going to happen. Verse 39, and the contention, or the animosity, was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. They got into a Donnybrook. Yes, he's going. No, he's not going. I say he's going. Well, I say he's not going. Maybe they did some chest bumping. I don't know. Maybe they were putting their fingers in each other's chest. But the Bible doesn't cover it up. It says the contention was sharp. These guys are mad. They're angry with one another. I would call that messy, wouldn't you? This is missions, is it not? And is this not messy? It's very messy. So what do? They can't come to an agreement. They're just hunkered down, each with their opinion. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. They went their separate ways. We can't resolve this amicably. We're going to go our separate directions. So he tells, Paul told Barnabas, you know, we're going to go. Barnabas says, great, let's take Mark. And, well, we just read what happened. This was a missionary mess. In fact, one writer said, this was not an amicable parting. They were in sharp disagreement regarding John Mark. The fight was over John Mark. And again, this is Barnabas' cousin. Here's what one writer says. Let me share these few little quotes with you. At Perga, John Mark left the company of missionaries and returned to Jerusalem. The journey up over the mountains from Perga to Antioch was a very difficult one. The climate at sea level at Perga was laden with malaria, and on beyond in the mountains were robber bands. The road was beset with dangers on every hand. It is likely that the knowledge of this caused Mark to turn back. This writer goes on to say, when the second missionary journey was to be undertaken, Paul would not consent to take Mark again, evidently because he felt that he lacked sufficient courage since he had turned back on a former journey. And then lastly, it is always a blow. Listen to this. It is always a blow, both to missionaries and the whole church, when a missionary proves unstable. And thus, the title of the message this morning, missions can be messy. Now, don't get me wrong, and stick with me. Because if you're thinking, well, Pastor, are you declaring that we should not be involved in missions? The total opposite. What I'm going to do this morning is acknowledge that it's messy and can be messy, and far messier than the average one of you even realized this morning. I'm going to kind of take you behind the scenes of what a pastor has to deal with and leadership has to deal with, and you're going to see how messy it is. But where am I going to land? I'm going to land enthusiastically supporting missions anyway. Back to our story. It's rather sad that these two leaders, these two godly men in missions, are having a fight. It's sad because no doubt this gets back to Antioch and the people there. You hear what happened? Paul and Barnabas, they were going to go back and visit the churches, and I heard they got in a big fight. Oh, well, they resolved it. No. What I hear is, Barnabas took Mark and Paul took Silas, and they're not even together anymore. What do you mean they're not together? No, they're not together anymore. And I imagine it was possible that people in the church began to take sides. You know, this can fester. People always do that. They won't take sides. Well, it was probably Paul. You know how Paul can be. He is so dogmatic, so emphatic. He's not going to listen to anybody. That's why I've always liked Barnabas. I suppose Barnabas wanted to give Mark a second chance. And so you got a prophet in Paul, and you got a mercy person in Barnabas, and those two always clash in missions and churches and everywhere. They're always clashing with one another. So this is getting messy. I mean, it doesn't say that it created problems in the church, but knowing people after being in ministry all these 40-something years, that's typically what happens. It creates a negative energy drain. It hurts the cause. In this messy missionary quarrel, one writer was speculating that they were probably, both of them, to a certain degree, were right in their opinions or conclusions, but they were probably both wrong. He said this, but also both men were wrong, and I believe they fell into sin in the way they dealt with the disagreement. They both stubbornly dug in their heels and refused to give in to all the other man's point of view. I don't know, but there may have been people back at the church when they heard that and may have said, "Phooey on missions. You know, forget that. You know, God can't be in that. So messy." This story might make us feel uncomfortable at first reading that. But I appreciate the openness and the honesty of Scripture in revealing the fact that people are people. And even the best of Christians, the most mature of Christians, even Christian leaders can get in messy situations. It was messy with Paul and Barnabas over Mark. But missions can be messy in other different ways. I have told other preachers and some of the leadership in our church here that if there's one area that unsettles me, it's in the area of missions. Because there's so many questions. Now, probably 99% of you don't think about those questions. You don't have to. I'm paid to think about those questions. You say, what questions are you talking about? I'm talking about real questions that a pastor has to come to some decision on. What are we talking about? Well, let me give you 20 questions. We'll go through them quickly. Don't worry. Question number one is, who do you support? Do you know far more missionaries contact us looking for support than we can possibly support? You understand that? Way more missionaries call us than is humanly possible for us to support. So how do you decide? How do you decide? How do you choose? I mean, what about their doctrine? What about their philosophy of missions? How do you choose? Number two, what type of missionary should you support? Some focus on starting churches. Some focus on medical missions. Some focus on aviation. I know of preachers that will only support, and they will make a case, that will only support men or women that are involved in starting churches. They have no interest in aviation. They have no interest in medical missions whatsoever. What's my opinion? What are we going to do? Does it make a difference where they're going? I know that there are preachers. I know I have been told by missionaries going to England that some preachers will not support them because, in their words, England had its chance and England doesn't respond. It's far better to send missionaries to Mexico or the Philippines, where you get a far bigger return, if you will, for your investment. You know, we have to think about that. Do they have a point? Do they not have a point? You say, Pastor, you're just discouraging us all about missions now. No, stick with me. We're going somewhere. It's going to have a happy ending, okay? The story's going to have a happy ending. How many missionaries should a church support? Should they support 20 missionaries for $100 a month? Should they support 4 missionaries for $500 a month? If you had more churches supporting them for more, then it wouldn't take them so long to get to the field, and when they come home, they wouldn't have to travel all over the country. What's the right way to do that? Who determines how much support a missionary needs? Many years ago here at this church, I conveyed to people how much support the average missionary needs, and they had no idea how expensive it was to send missionaries to the field. And who makes the determination? How much is enough? How much is too much? Number 6, how do you know if they're doing their job? You send them to India. I have heard report, and this is the exception, not the rule. This is the exception, but it does happen. I've heard it said from another pastor friend of mine that heard from a missionary that he had told other missionaries, look, you worked 3 years really hard to raise your support, and then you can coast the rest of your life. Because your support is coming in whether you win people to the Lord or not. If this congregation dwindles, I hurt, this church hurts. For a missionary, if his congregation dwindles, he's still got the support. So how do you know if they're doing their job? What about short missionary tenures? How do you deal with that? What about missionaries who raise money for 3 years and come home in 2? What about interpersonal conflicts? You know, they're not immune from interpersonal conflicts on the field. We've had to deal with missionaries who had marital issues on the field. We've had to deal with missionaries who have had children problems out on the field. What about the cross-cultural challenges? You get to a foreign country and the culture is just shockingly different and you just can't deal with it. Or maybe the wife can't deal with it or the husband can't deal with it. What about that? What about sin issues on the mission field? That happens. Missionaries can have affairs. Children can rebel. There can be financial mishandlings. What's the best way to support missions? Should it be an item in your budget that a certain percentage of your budget goes to, or should it be simply by faith promise? I've had very well-known heads of mission agencies tell me that you do much better when it's simply by faith promise rather than a budget item. Say, what do we do here? We do both. What's the best way? How much should safety issues come into play? Where should missionaries go? Where should missionaries not go? What is faith and what is foolish? I heard a commentator, they were talking about this pastor that came home from Turkey yesterday, and we rejoiced with the fact after 2 years in prison, he was there. But this person wasn't being cruel at all. In fact, and this person stressed the fact that she was glad that he was home. But she said, why do people go to dangerous places to begin with? You know, the people you have to rescue from Afghanistan, why were they there to begin with? Well, that raises issues in missions. And I've thought that before. You're going where? You're going to Pakistan? Isn't that very dangerous? How do you know what's the right answer? What is faith and what is foolishness? How do you determine the qualification of missionaries? What's the criteria? The Bible lays out criteria for pastors. The Bible lays out criteria for deacons. What about for missionaries? What's the qualification for missionaries? Should it be pastor? Should it be a deacon? Should mission support just go to foreign missions? How about home missions? I've met pastors who believe that every penny of foreign missions every penny that goes to missions must go to foreign missions. Well, we have home missions too. Are we out of line in doing that? Number 15, are you all discouraged and depressed yet? Come on, let me hear a little chuckle, let you know that you're not turning on me or you don't think I'm going negative on you here. Number 15, how should missionaries come home on furlough? Every 2 years? Every 4 years? What's the answer? How long should a missionary be home on furlough? When is a missionary too young or too old to go to the foreign field? Some mission agencies won't stand with a missionary or support a missionary that's over, I don't know, 60, whatever, just pick a number. Is that right? Is that wrong? What's too old? What's too young? What is the role of single young women? I know of pastors that differ from me that they will not support a single young woman for a variety of reasons going to the mission field. Number 19, who is better equipped for missions, local indigenous missionaries or American missionaries? We support some Filipinos in the Philippines. Do you get bigger bang for your buck? They know the language. They know the culture. Would we do better to support more of them rather than all the effort, time, and expense that goes into sending American missionaries to the foreign field? Is it better use of money to send two missionaries to Mexico for the cost of sending one missionary to France? And the list really could have gone on longer. That's why I say, as a pastor, missions can prove very challenging. Very challenging. These questions can discourage, even frustrate, not only a pastor, but a congregation. Or it can bring division into a congregation. If missions can be so messy, and don't forget about Paul and Barnabas, okay? Because you say, Pastor, you're raising all these questions. This started 2,000 years ago. Okay, who do you bring? Who do you not bring? Does John Mark go or does he not go? And the Bible did not sweep that under the carpet. If missions is messy, why should it matter to you? One, because it matters to God. And it's commanded of God. And you have it in this banner right up here. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So even though missions can be messy, as we saw with Paul and Barnabas, nonetheless, the commission is there to spread the gospel to every creature all around the world. That's one reason that you stay committed to missions, even though it may be challenging. But second, because missions is rewarded by God. Philippians 4:19, the Apostle Paul said to the Philippian church, who was one of the few churches to actually support him, he said unto them after receiving their support, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I claim that promise, and I think that's one of the main reasons you need to be involved in missions, because this is a promise that is real, and your individual involvement in missions guarantees God's blessings on you, and collectively, our collective involvement in missions guarantees God's blessings on us. And for those two reasons, you should not get discouraged. There will be discouragements. There will be hard questions. There will be debate over issues, as there was over John Mark between Paul and Barnabas. But you stay the course. Because think about it, folks. Is it not true that lots of areas in life can be messy, but you don't give up on them? Is there anyone in this room, don't raise your hand, you've never had just a little bit of messiness in your marriage? But you stay the course, right? Does it sometimes get messy in raising children? Yes, but you stay the course. The workplace, your business, or where you go to work, can it get messy there? Absolutely. But you stay the course. And having said that, let me give you three fundamental principles that will encourage you through all of the messiness when it comes. And we've had to deal with it as church. We've had to have meetings in here, some business meetings, and bring up this missionary. This happened, that happened. You know, it gets messy. But you have every reason, and I have every reason, to be enthusiastic anyway. These next three principles, I wish I could claim them as original with me. They are not. But it may be that the Lord directed me to these three principles as much for me as it is for you. Because as a pastor, you know, you're living your life, you're making a living, raising kids, and, you know, doing the stuff you do. This is on my plate almost every day. These three points helped me enormously, And if I only hope that they help you enormously as well. Here they are. We're going to end positively. Number one, and by the way, these points apply to mission specifically, but ministry in general. And if you understand these three points, we're going to mature this morning as a church. We're going to be not only better at missions, but we're going to be better as a church. Number one, in both missions and ministry, expect the improbable. Just expect it. Now, if you get saved and you think Paul and Barnabas are just saints and they're going to never make a mistake and I need to be like them and I'm never going to make a mistake, you're setting yourself up for frustration. Expect the improbable. Listen to these quotes from the article that I'm referencing here. To all who were acquainted with these apostles, nothing could have appeared more improbable than that they should ever quarrel. They were both good men. They were old friends. They had been fellow laborers for a long time. They were apostles too, acting under the inspiration and direction of Christ. Under such circumstances, could anything appear more improbable than that that such men should quarrel? Yet they did. And that just gives us the proper perspective, not only for missions, but for ministry. You can expect the improbable. It was totally improbable that Paul and Barnabas would get into a fight so bad that they would split up, but they did. The improbable will happen. Don't let the improbable discourage or defeat you. Whether it's dealing with missions and all the many questions that have to be answered, or whether it's dealing with ministry here at the church. Again, if you're a baby Christian and you're naive and you think that when you get saved you're going to be perfect and you think everybody in the congregation is going to be perfect and the pastor is going to be perfect, you're setting yourself up for a shock that can get you off course in the worst sort of way. Don't let the improbable discourage or defeat you. And understand this, the work continued. And the work continued, perhaps it even doubled, by the fact that now, rather than one missionary team going, you have two missionary teams going. God knows what he is doing. So we are human beings. Paul and Barnabas, even though they were hand chosen of God, quite literally, they're still human. And it helps us to understand that. And it helps to give us patience. It helps us to work through issues. It helps us to not lose our cool. In both missions and ministry, expect the improbable. Number two, in both missions and ministry, it is small practical matters and not doctrinal matters that challenge us and often bring disharmony. Let's read that again. In both missions and ministry, it is small practical matters and not doctrinal matters that challenge us and bring disharmony. Think about that. I've had this discussion with other pastors. The problems in churches are not usually deeply theological or doctrinal. 99 times out of 100, it's not that at all. It's so-and-so offended me, or they forgot to thank me, or why wasn't I chosen for that, or I don't like the decision by the church. It's practical. Listen to this perspective. This writer has a fabulous perspective, fabulous insight. I could kick myself. Why didn't I think of this? But I didn't. They had contended together, he says, talking about Paul and Barnabas, with the bigoted Jew and the idolatrous Gentile. These are battles that these two men were facing together on this first missionary journey. They had just returned from Jerusalem, where they had engaged in a most exciting debate and seemed to have gone through the whole of these things with unspoken equanimity. With all the problems they face out on the mission field, They are bonded together. They're having to make decisions. Okay, we're going to go do here. We're going to do this. You know, I'm going to preach. You're going to preach. Here's the doctrines we're going to emphasize. But now the mere question as to whether John should accompany them produces great irritation. They can take on battles of the Western world, but when it came down to a simple little question, is Mark going to go with us? There was a problem. Goes on to say, now this seems to us a small matter compared with other things that engaged their united attention. And yet it was this that broke the harmony of their friendship. And the lesson there is that we should expect there will be differences of opinion along the way, both with how we deal with missions and how we deal with missionaries. Just expect it. Ministry and missions is a rough road. Jesus did not meander down easy street when he was here. And mature Christians get it. And mature Christians have patience. And mature Christians calm down their emotions. And mature Christians don't get upset and throw in the towel when they hear about a problem in the church. They aren't taken by surprise. They understand the nature of people, and they understand that God is still in control. Which brings us to number three, which I think maybe is the most important of the three. This is so practical. This answers all of the 20 questions that I gave you. In missions and ministry, God often allows for us to use our own discretion. In ministry and in missions, God often allows for us to use our own discretion. That's a great lesson here from this story. These quotes: Christianity allows scope for discretionary action. These apostles took upon themselves to decide as to whether John should accompany them or not. No principle was involved in it. It was a mere question of expediency. It goes on to say, we are allowed no discretionary action, either as to moral principles or cardinal truths or Bible principles or what the Bible teaches. We can't monkey with that. But there is much in connection with the methods of extending Christianity that is left entirely with our judgment. And that's a great lesson. And I believe that. That there are many things that God's work speaks to explicitly. He lays it out clearly. We cannot negotiate that. We cannot explain it away, whether it's comfortable, whether we like it, whether culture accepts it or not, where the Word of God is clearly spoken, we must be committed to it. And the Lord in His Word lays out these principles. This principle, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, Lord, would you spell it out specifically? Who in each church is to go, and how much are we to support them? And should we only support indigenous missionaries? Should we support women or not? Should we? How many volumes would it take? How many encyclopedic volumes would it take? And we would all have to be attorneys trying to figure out even the nuances of what it said in that scenario. Truth of the matter is, God gives us discretion. God gives us wisdom. Paul decided to take Silas, and Barnabas decided to go with John Mark. And according to Scripture, we're not told which was right or which was wrong. And I believe the message there is that God leaves some matters to personal discretion. These three principles, I think, if we understand and accept as a church and as individuals, makes our church strong and makes missions vibrant, because we're not arguing. We're not fussing. We're not fighting. What were those three principles again? In both missions and ministry, expect the improbable. If you get that, you'll be patient. You won't be leaving the church. You won't be getting mad. You understand that, okay, people are people. Number two, in both missions and ministry, it's a small practical matters and not doctrinal matters that challenge us and bring us disharmony, which leads to number three. So in missions and ministry, God often allows for us to use our own discretion. So that gives me as a pastor a great perspective to not be discouraged. Because sometimes, you know, my wife, she knows. I'll say, Sharon, which missionaries? How do we know? And what's the best way to do it? I hear these other preachers and their opinions, and, you know, some of them have the idea, well, we want a missionary in every time zone where you can have a missionary. Where did that come from? Well, okay, that's something that they came up with. Is that wrong? No. So you proceed in harmony and unity. I think, without tooting my own horn, I think a lot of this discretionary decisions falls right on the shoulders of the pastor, because it's the pastor that will give an account. Okay, not that I'm a dictator. I value everybody's opinions, but bottom line, somebody's got to decide. And a congregation that has heard a message like this, I think, is in a better position to understand why that they need to leave some of these discretionary decisions to the pastor and the leadership of the church. But this story, let's just go back to the story one more time. This story has, believe it or not, a happy ending. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 9, we're on down the road now, sometime later. And Paul writes this to Timothy. Do thy diligence, he says to Timothy, to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Catch this. Take Mark, the same Mark, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Amen. Whatever was causing discord earlier, all is now obviously forgiven. And Paul, who once wanted nothing to do with Mark, says, ask Mark to come. He's beneficial. He's helpful. And I would imagine when Mark shows up, there is a hug between Paul and Mark. That's what mature Christians do. There may be times of disagreement, because there's 1,000 decisions that have to be made, both in missions and in ministry. And you make the decisions as best you can, and where it's not clearly laid out in Scripture as to what to do, you've got to use discretion. You pray, you seek God's will, you seek counsel, and then you have to make a decision. I'll have young preachers call me, and they're having to make a tough decision. And I tell them, you're doing a good thing by seeking counsel. The Bible says for you to do that. I said, but if you haven't found this out, you will. You may call 5 preachers for counsel about a decision you have to make, and you may get 5 different answers. But the wisdom is in seeking the counsel, but bottom line is you've got to use discretion and make a decision. So, we have learned here through the years that at times, thankfully it's rare, missions can be messy. We're presented with a case of a missionary problem on the field, and we have to decide, what are we going to do? Missions can be messy, but be enthusiastic about missions anyway. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.